Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Oh, we have all kinds of background noise today. So hopefully that will stop in just a moment. Okay. Call-in number 914-338-0164. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We invite our callers and listeners to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, I guess. Even though we don't really use Twitter. I mean, we post, but we don't really converse with people on there. But it's another place to find our show. We do post our links there, so your support is appreciated on those sites. You may find them on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, so while we wait for some callers to come in, let's talk. Shall we, Neil?
Yes. We just had an incident, a minor incident about a wounded cricket. We won't tell you how the wounded cricket got here.
That's what I meant to look up, actually.
Cricket. Now, what's interesting is recently Governor Newsom was talking about the environment, and apparently when he was a kid he had a pet raccoon, so he became partial to wildlife, and he recently made a comment that all forms of life were valued to him, and in that he included insects. Probably because of the farms and
yes.
I mean, there's things like this, but
go ahead.
They can live without a lake. I know,
but why did you?
Because they can live without a lake, but this guy didn't look too well.
No, he didn't.
We decided not to put him out of his misery. We just let him
go into our foliage.
Into the garden. You know, when you get down to all forms of life, it was occurring to me that everything has a form of energy, to me, emotions and intelligence.
Well, I had
even if it is connected to instinct.
I had a really interesting dream last night. So it's what happened with the cricket, and then you mentioning it here on the show is interesting because I had this dream about it was horrible. There was a, it was like a deer head and then the carcass, like a butchered, freshly killed and butchered deer. And I was saying in the dream, it was like in my car, and there was a woman in my dream. And I said to her, I am not going to eat this. I am not participating in this. But it was horrifying. I mean, it was just extremely disturbing. And, you know, going into the astral realm and encountering animals that have been slaughtered, obviously, and then making a conscious choice in that, realm, or a conscious statement in that realm, saying I am separating myself from this energy. Obviously, we separate ourselves from that energy on a conscious basis in life, but it was interesting that it would come in a dream. It was very disturbing.
Yeah.
Graphic.
Yeah.
I'll share more details with you about that later, but
Well,
anyway, then encountering the cricket, which was very upsetting. I had to trap the cricket and bring it outside. And it's interesting about Gavin Newsom, though, because I'm surprised that he made that statement. And I haven't read the article that you did, Neil, but he is a restaurateur. And I know he serves meat at his restaurant. So it's interesting that he's taking that position that's so strong in protecting the environment, including insects, which are largely ignored, yet there's the contradiction of him operating a restaurant that almost certainly
you gotta measure it. I mean, at least if there's consciousness about the world and all forms of life, not everyone's going to be perfect, but at least if there's consciousness there and awareness, that's a good start. And he did make that statement, which I'm sure is going to influence his policies and what he signs off and where his concerns are.
Well, I haven't been I supported his election as governor. However, I've not been too happy with some of the decisions he's made. This one I am happy with.
Yeah.
So it's been mixed, that's for sure.
But you know what, just for this, to just sort of move the time along, crickets, we consider them pests, but let's stop for a moment. Number one, they serenade the night. Where would our world be without crickets? You know, on a soft summer night, their chirping are actually love mate calls. So they're trying to find mates, and they're territorial a little bit, but still that sound is part of the musical score of the evening. And what can we do without that? Really, it's a romantic sound, and it occupies all forms of music, literature, stage productions, and just our own incredible sense of nature around us at night. Also, crickets are considered to be good luck in China. They keep them as pets.
They
cages.
Also, I think they eat them too.
They eat them. There are cultures that do eat them, but there are people that keep them as pets. They are a source of food for some of our other creatures, lizards and spiders. That's their diet. They're interesting anyways. They're older than the human race, and they have a social network, and they usually like to hang out together. They can be cannibalistic, but that's only in rare instances when they're starving or when there's a dead member, and it's just, that's it. They eat it. But that could also be for not only for sustenance, but for
sustenance,
for safety for the colony of crickets. But you know, Chris and I know since I've been a little boy, I've had an interesting relationship with insects, and started to talk to them and communicate with them, wrote books about them. I feel that there's a certain connection. I know whenever I save an insect from some form of danger, it's weird. They seem to, not all of them, and it may sound strange, but they seem to look at me and validate that I have done something. It's just strange. You have to be there to see it, because
they
interact, they look.
They do. They'll move their antenna.
Yeah.
And
now some insects, they have compound eyes, so they don't even know what a human being is. They have no conception of the human being. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. It's the idea of all forms of life. Now, when we go deeper,
I'm just not a fan of crickets, I have to say, though. I just am not. They're not my favorite insect. No, I don't kill them, but
you should be the crickets Times Square.
I just, they're not my favorite.
The cricket in Times Square, and then E.B. White, who wrote Charlotte's Web, talked about crickets. Cricket in Times Square is a very famous young adult book. It's not quite a picture book. It's a text. It's a novel. And the crickets have been throughout literature. If you look on the Animal Medicine Wheel and the Animal Spirit Guide Wheel, crickets alert to danger.
I felt compassion for that cricket that was injured in our home and took care of the cricket. I'm just saying they're not my favorite insect. But, you know, what's your favorite insect? Do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite insect? No, I do not. When I was a kid, I was totally fascinated with ants. So I wrote a novel about ants.
Not fascinated with ants. I had a phobia and I would start crying. I literally, when an ant would get on me, it's ridiculous.
I was totally fascinated
crying.
With ants. And their colony and
silly,
they communicate. And I decided to write this novel about ants and all this kind of thing. But ants are interesting. Spiders that design the web of, when they build their webs, it's supposed to be a replica of the universe. Fascinating.
I like spiders.
Spiders are fascinating. They have a bad reputation. But boy, we would be in bad shape without spiders. And they have a certain communication. Yeah, they can bite you. But, you know, spiders aren't going to be, they aren't, you know, 20-foot spiders are crawling out of theaters, killing people. There are deadly spiders. But basically, they can't help it. They bite when they feel threatened. There are some spiders that are notorious, that don't really build webs, that can bite you and do some damage. But generally speaking, spiders are reclusive and quite fascinating. And don't forget, mentioning Charlotte's Web, Charlotte is a spider, was a spider, and that was a very heartwarming, very sad book in terms of Charlotte's plight. But if you read on the spider, they command the universe, and in their orb, they are the center of the universe, and they know everything in their web. If something gets caught in their web, they know exactly where to go. They feel it out. They're very cautious. The more aggressive spiders, I've had some really fun times with jumping spiders. They love human beings. Now, they have more keen eyesight. So they actually, they don't have the compound eyes like an ant or a bee where everything's in patterns. But a jumping spider are fascinating. They like to play. They're playful. They're curious. They interact. Now, I once saw, found a dead spider. And it was already dead, so I placed it in front of this jumping spider. And what the jumping spider did was he paused and looked at it and then started to tap the ground as if to say, are you going to fight me? Are you alive? You know, can I get something out of you? And while it didn't respond, it approached the dead spider very cautiously, checked it out, went around and around circles, then looked up at me like, what's wrong with this guy? Well, not me, but the spider. Because the spider actually saw me. His head followed me, placed this dead spider in its path. So finally he said, well, if you're not going to eat him, I'm going to eat him. And with that, the spider jumped on the dead spider and had a meal. And the jumping spider. But they're very, very curious creatures. A jumping spider reminds me of a lizard. A lizard will follow you with his eyes. We've got lizards that are very cute.
They are cute.
And then they come out
head on their chin. And they look at you like,
this kind of adorable look. Aren't I cute?
They're very friendly.
And they know you, and they love to watch. They're very curious creatures.
You know, I like Japanese beetles, and we have a caller we're going to get to in just a sec. But they're a pest. People, you know, they eat roses and all this.
Yeah.
But when you don't have gardens, there's a green variety. They're called green Japanese beetles.
Yeah.
Or green June beetle.
What we
and they fly around, they're very cute.
And fruit.
And they're friendly.
You know, and then we get a bet on insects for eating. But it you know, it can be an epidemic of some sorts. But still, they have
it's hard to manage. Yeah. Well, when you don't, for us, I mean, we don't have like a rose garden or anything or a vegetable garden. So it's not, you know, we're not managing pests.
I had the sociological, those teacher sociology of psychology and sociology. And he respected all forms of life, but he loved his garden. He loved his rose garden. And when he would find a snail, he wouldn't kill it. He'd pick up, and this guy was a pure intellectual. He'd pick up the snail and say, now listen, I don't want you on my flowers. I'm going to put you someplace else. You go eat over there. You'd actually talk to the snail and place it in another area. But anyway, he's just getting our call.
Yeah, snail's another unfavorite insect of mine. But anyway. 845. Yeah, I know. It's I know. When I said insect, I knew it was wrong.
Hello.
Okay. Hi.
How are you?
It's Lucy.
Yeah.
Hi, Lucy. How are you?
Good. How you? Good, good. How you two doing? Good?
Good. We haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, I was thinking about you. Actually,
you were thinking about me, yes.
Last week, for some reason.
I was thinking about you too, yes. I was thinking to call on Wednesday. I checked, you don't have Mondays, you have Wednesdays, but it was kind of busy.
Oh, well, yeah. Anyway.
And today's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I said, let me call.
What year?
Yeah, I was thinking to call.
61, right?
62.
62. Sorry. 678. I knew there was a reflection and it's in the 611 rather than the, I was thinking it was 61. Okay. Happy birthday, Lucy. That's
happy
great.
Birthday,
glad we had a show today.
Thank you so much.
So what are you doing today? Anything special?
Working. Yeah. No, I'm taking training for Science July 27th. And I'll be in training to December 4th, yeah.
So training is it for what?
Job training, new system, all new system they implemented.
Same job, but new, just different system in within the job that you're in already.
Yes. Different, okay. Same stuff, different system. Yes. And then after I finish working, I go and do some work inside, outside. Mm-hmm. Then I keep myself busy. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so now you've turned out 58 years old.
She's a year into her.
And what would you like to see happen next year, Lucy?
What I would like to see happening? Oh, changes.
Well, changes in what? Yeah. What?
I remember, I moved to in this house in April 1992.
Okay.
Then I remember last time we were talking about that it will be nice if I stay in this house for 2 more years.
Okay.
I moved over here in April 1992.
When you were 29.
April? Hold on a minute. Okay, hold on a minute. My son was born in 1993. A year later. In this house.
Okay.
Then I say, I would like to sell my house. Then I remember I quit my job and simplified my life. So April 1992. Then what you see on that one? Simplifying my life, way done is easier.
Let me just say this. When you moved into the house, you were 30 years old.
She was 29, actually. It was
close.
She was going to be 30 that
year. You're just about going to be 30. If you wait two more years, you will have been in that house 30 years. So when you moved in, you were approaching 30. And if you're suggesting you want to move in 2 years, you will.
No, you suggested that it was good if I move, if I can stay longer in this house. I say, no, I want to simplify the life and maybe sell the house, no matter what.
Yeah,
and you say it's better.
You said you want to maybe do it in 2 years.
Oh, right now.
Hold on a minute.
Is that what you said?
I say right now.
She's saying that last time she called, she wanted to move, but it was suggested that she stay for 2 more years. But if she stayed in the house 2 more years,
she will have been there 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
And she was 30 when she moved into
essentially,
the house.
Essentially.
So what I'm saying
30.
Is, what I'm saying, right. Lucy, is you when you moved into the house, you were 30 years old. If you move in 2 years, you will have lived in that house 30 years. Doesn't mean you have to move then.
But there's a balance in the
yeah. And there's a division of 2 years between your master number and your karmic number. 26 equals 8 is not a multiple of 8. 24 would be. So there's a 2 year difference there, you see. So you're working on a 2 year theme in terms of trying to adjust to a balance of energy. And your energy is 116, which is really 26, which repeats in your year. So you work multiples of 8, given the fact that there's 2 year differences where other things can happen.
That was the reason I just suggested that I should stay 30 years in this house.
Yeah, you don't have to. You could stay there 32 years. You cannot move. We're just saying that your comments are in alignment with your numerical numbers.
Right now, she's 32 years past her karmic age, so just
yeah.
Since.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you're going through changes.
She owns another house.
She
owns another house too that she rents out.
Okay.
And you're planning on keeping that to as a rental income, so?
Probably, yeah.
But you would in simplifying, that would mean moving into what type of, like, an apartment or a condo? Did you want to buy?
Yeah, moving there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Buy?
I'm moving into
something.
It's no buying.
I
will buy. Yeah. I think I won't be buying anymore. I just want to simplify life. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying as far as simplifying. But I think I'm not trying to dissuade you from renting necessarily. And it is, I guess, simpler in some ways to rent. But you can simplify and maybe own something that doesn't require as much maintenance, like a condominium that doesn't have grounds to upkeep or that has an HOA fee that pays for those services. So you don't have to be responsible for them yourself. So anyway, just to put that out there.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about changes right now, Lucy, what you're doing is you're converging with your master number multiples of life. And you're talking about, well, I want to make changes. Well, that makes sense because your age in relation to your master number and your karmic number coincide. So you're talking about these changes. You're talking about simplifying your life. So you're getting more to some form of simplicity. At the same time, you're going through a change at work and you're looking at a new system, but you're remaining in the system itself. So you're looking at the attitude of maybe changing your environment in your home, but you're remaining in your home while you're thinking about these changes. So there is a correlation between your work and your home and the idea that changes are happening. Now, ultimately, what you have to start doing at this time of your life, you're 58 years old, what you have to start doing is saying, what do I want to do for the rest of my life so I feel like I've accomplished everything? You're at that age now where you have to start thinking about these things. What you have to think, you know, maybe you want to, maybe it's leisure, maybe you want to go on vacation, maybe you want to just sit in your backyard, but you have to think, when I go, well, I've done everything that my soul brought me here to do. Have I done everything that I need to do? And I just don't mean leisurely things. I'm talking about the vital, important things that you feel in your heart you need to accomplish. These are the things you need to look at.
Yeah, they remember they say, oh, I would like to quit my job. They laid off a lot of people, and that was like overnight. And in my group, they laid off half of the group, and they didn't lay me off. It's like, okay, it's like it is now my turn. It was a good people, and I say, wow. They don't tell us, but we can see in the system who got laid off. We just get the word that some people were being laid off. Oh, they offered them a package, and then some people were previous that they started firing people that they didn't meet their numbers, tightening the numbers and the reports so people could work, could show more work done in a day. And no, she said, oh, you're gonna go to class because you are one of the better examiners that are in the group. I said, okay, thank you. But I didn't really want to go for training. And now I'm in training, and I don't know.
Well, what are you learning? What is it you're doing in terms of the new?
It is the same thing, but it's a different system. It is more manual. It is more like you have to enter most of the stuff for the claim to finalize, to audit most of the stuff. While the other one was more Microsoft-like, more advanced system, but it was contracted by a company. Then it's more expensive for them. Now they're going to go back to an old system they created. And they're getting all these people from India, and then they just melt in the company with the engineers, Indian engineers.
Oh, do you see any major changes going on in the industry, in the insurance industry, that is vastly different from what's been its
historically
structure? Do you see changes going on that we should know about?
Yes, there are a lot of changes going on.
Well, in what regard? I mean, what aspect? What kind of changes? If that would affect the consumer.
Coverage are more expensive, and then the benefits are less. It's like you go to the supermarket. Now you see this kind of how you can say all this the same prices, but. When you look at the size, yeah, the amount of, they look similar, but kind of, you look at the kind of ounces you're getting for, it's like, wow,
yeah.
One third,
you're
two-thirds.
You're getting 48 ounces instead of 64
yeah,
for the
it's the same in the insurance. You're paying a little bit more and less coverage.
Yeah, it's surprising, you know, I noticed, recently, cell phone, Verizon specifically, reformulated all their plans in August. And they, shockingly, during this time that we're in a national and worldwide crisis, and people are losing their jobs and businesses are closing, and you know, if they're not completely lost their jobs, people are on unemployment, and they're diminishing the benefits and raising the rates. I think it's unconscionable companies are doing this right now.
In some form, this is to minimize their costs. But where do you think the profit is going?
Well, it is. I think. What is the? Ask me the question again.
Well, you know, they're giving you less for more, and that is to increase their profit, their capital. They're trying to maximize their own bank, so to speak. But that extra money, where is that going? Is it going back into the company? Is it going to executives? Is it going to shareholders? Where is it going back into the product itself? You know, they're taking something from the consumer in terms of what they can sell to the consumer.
It is like a snowball. It takes from everybody.
Right, but
the
where
only
is
ones
it?
That
who is benefiting?
It is not going. Yeah, it is not benefiting the. Really, it's not benefiting the. Anybody, because we're wasting too much money as the government is wasting a lot of money. Then, like, the taxes are going up, everything is going up, and then everything is a shrimp for the consumer and for the companies.
So the companies are losing.
Everybody's
yeah,
everything
is tightening. Yeah, and it's not because the people, it's not because the corporations, it's just the system that is not working any longer, because people want socialism in a democratic system that doesn't work. Like, democratic system is not working. With the melting it with the socialism that they want to use, people want things for nothing. And those people are not willing to do anything, then they dragging the people than that.
Yeah, but
and
I think
plus the government, yeah, plus the government
yeah.
is not being utilizing all the taxes. It's a lot of corruption. Then it's just the system is no longer working because it's corrupted. Then it is not that they want to shrink the customer. It's not that the companies are taking advantage. It's like the tornado. It's just coming.
I think that
it will take everything, you know.
I think the people at the top, though, the bottom line is, you know, everybody's affected to a certain point, and
yeah,
the people that are at the very top of corporations are not cutting their pay. Everybody beneath them. Well, not all companies. I mean, maybe in yours.
Not companies.
Some of them are.
Like in our company, they took down a lot of people, a lot of management, and they offered them different positions. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the,
so,
the more. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about
yeah.
it? Is your company affected by Obamacare? Do you go into individual policies if you insure companies or what?
What type of? No, she's on that kind of insurance.
No, I don't. Obamacare is a small groups. Like they take individuals and they put them in a small groups.
Groups,
insurance groups. Then that's the reason. And most of those people are people that don't have jobs. Because if you have a job, you will take the whatever they offer you in your company cheaper. Because if you have a salary, Obamacare doesn't work for you. It's people that doesn't have a job, doesn't have an income, that Obamacare will work for them. Otherwise, even people that make the minimum, some people aim paying $120, $200 a month for a person that has to pay a huge amount in
Exactly. What type of, you don't have to say the company, but like what type of
population do you work with? You work with homeless
group.
What?
No,
we large groups like group. businesses.
Businesses, yeah. No, we do everything, but then the group that I work for is large groups.
So you're insurance.
Like my company works. My company does everything.
But you work in a specialized department that deals only with like insuring companies, large groups.
Yes, yes. But if you read about Obamacare and who is the one that is, like Obamacare, it is so, like if you take Obamacare, if you are in New York and you go to another state, you cannot use it. It is not a PPO. You will have to be in the place where you live. Otherwise, if you get sick somewhere else,
it's restricted by state to state.
Well, I think it depends though on which state you live in and what your policy is. Like for instance, in California, if you have an Obamacare or covered California policy, that's an HMO, you are stuck in your state. But if you have a PPO, it can be used elsewhere. So I think it's specific to the state and the governance in the state and the rules. You know, how the rules are governed, because it's a little bit different here.
Well, you know, since this is your time,
yeah.
How did you get involved in this business? Was there a point when you became interested? Did somebody just offer you a job? How did you come to work in this field?
I finished college over here. Then I applied to this company, and it just, like 5 minutes driving fast, like 10 minutes. I say, well, it's just 10 minutes from my house. If I got my kids and then something happened, I just come real quick. It was I never wanted to work far away from the house because I always think about my kids. Then we started a company. And I say, well, I can do the company, I can do the kids, and I can work for because the insurance. And then my husband say, yeah, you can work there. And then in 5 years, we okay. Then you just don't work. Then 5 years came, exactly 5 years. And then I say, okay, today is the day that I'm not going to work anymore because it's already 5 years plus, and I already work and did a company. And they say, oh no, you cannot because I'm leaving. It's like, okay, whatever, you know.
Well, your husband
then I
left
just stay in the company. Yeah, he left. Mm-hmm. Oh, he decided to go with somebody else. Then I just stay because my kids say, "Ma, we need the insurance. Ma, why are we gonna do this, Ma?" And then you cannot quit your job. I say, okay, whatever. I stay.
Sometimes, Lucy, if you're looking for jobs in your area and you just don't know where to go, you start to, you know, back in the old days, you just take your feet. Going to one place and put an application in, going to another. What compelled you to go to the insurance when you were looking for a job in your vicinity?
I wasn't looking for a job. My teachers offered me different kind of job. They say, I can recommend you here and where I work. It was in Westchester, like an hour away. Another one say, you're too good. Let's go to work. And he works in Connecticut. Stratford, Connecticut is like 45 an hour. It's no time. And I say, yeah, I was. You're good, what you do, the teachers will say, I can recommend you. Then I know a girl that told me, it was a very low pay job, but then the insurance was okay. And the only thing that I needed was a job. I didn't even needed a job, but I say, okay, let's go to work for the insurance. We don't have to worry about the insurance while we build the company. And it just for more, no more than 5 years. That was the goal.
And how long have you been working? How long have you been in this industry working?
21 years.
Oh.
21? Yeah, 21 years here. But then there is times where I say, oh, I'd rather to go to Hawaii and see the palm trees. But then, sorry. I don't know. I would like to go to Hawaii, to California. You guys live in California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. California is good, but then it's becoming too expensive. Yeah.
Very expensive. It's expensive.
Yeah, you have to. It's expensive. It's
very expensive.
Every place has a challenge, but California's expensive.
There are less expensive places in California, but you're going to sacrifice good weather. I mean, it's polluted here. I mean, but there are like really, really hot areas in California that are much less expensive.
You have to kind of
desert
go
areas.
Out into
the inland areas, or like northern California, though that's gotten more expensive too. But there are some areas in northern California that are cheaper.
Oh, you live in northern California?
No, we live in southern, but there are areas in northern, like way north, that are cheaper, like Shasta.
Mm-hmm.
And get some cheaper areas there. But
yeah,
all expensive. Like Eureka is expensive now.
Yeah.
But you own a home?
You own a
property there? Oh, that's good. Maybe you were born there or something like that, or you went there, but now.
Yeah. We're both natives. We still have our
and headdress.
Yeah, I'm grasping a spear as we speak. But But no, Lucy, you have to. You're going through changes, and when you've reached 24 years or 26 years at your job, you will be on another multiple of 8. So you've got some changes coming up.
And I remember you asking us, Lucy, if you were going to be let go. I think you asked us, and we said no, that you'd be safe at your job because of the changes going on. So you're still there. How many years do you plan to work? Maybe 4?
I don't know. Like if they're going to say, we're picking up people to let them go with the package, I will raise my hand. Hallelujah. Choose. Yeah, I am ready. You know, but then happens. It didn't happen. Yeah, my flowers are coming. Yeah, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I don't know. And then most of the people that were afraid to get laid off, they got laid off. You know, and then it's crazy.
Well, listen, do you have any mystical questions or spiritual questions or other world questions for us today? Since you're our guest on the show.
Yeah. Okay. What you see about my spiritual, because my spiritual development with my love for investments and money. What does spirit say about it? What correlation you can see in my realm? Because some people tell me you are so spiritual, but then you're so materialistic. I say no.
Your birthday, you can, and anyway, you can ask anything you want. I don't know if that's where you were headed in terms of a spiritual question, but we're back in the, spiritual.
Yeah.
You said spiritual. Well, you're an 8. You're an 8, Lucy. So that's a money symbol. That's a number that's supposed to have money, property, it's power to some degree. But you also have nothing above an 8, no 8s in your code. In fact, everything is below, even below a 7. There are 6s, 1s, and 2s. So your 8 is in fact broken up in your 611 and your 62, but it's a reflection of a year in your karma. Yeah. So your karmic number 26 is in your year, and that can present some challenges in investments and money and power, but you do in fact have 2 homes. You have 2 properties, which is, you know, significant. Do you have other investments like stocks?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that?
Yeah.
Yes, I like to read about investing and the market. Very interested in all the politicians and all what is going on.
Are you conservative? Are you a pretty conservative investor?
No.
You mean you do high risk investment?
Yes.
Really?
And do you come out
pretty
good?
Sometimes. I believe yes.
Well, you
I'm
see,
surprised. Actually, I would have thought she would be more conservative than investor.
Well, she wants to make money.
But you
see,
can make
the
money.
Thing.
The problem is, wait, can I just say something? I mean, you can be, the problem with being a high risk investor is that there's the risk of losing a lot of money. So even if you make money, sometimes you lose a lot of money.
Well,
whereas
that's
being
why
a
broken up.
Right. Being being a conservative investor, I would think for her would be smarter because she's going to build more and not lose as much, especially with the code that she's got. But anyway, you may.
What you see, Lucy, the money aspect of life in regard to being spiritual, the money aspect of life is about being responsible, and it's okay to build capital and make money. Now, what you do with your money is also of great importance. Do you, you know, donate? Do you give to worthy causes? Do you just hoard it? You know, you have to kind of consider what you do with your investment. Now, you're entitled on an earthly level to do whatever you want with it. But if we go into spirituality and there's a blessing of making money, which you have the capacity to make, you have to think what you do with that money. So the first rule of thumb, I benefit from it and I enjoy it. I have peace of mind. I have security. I build capital. I have investments. I have assets. Then you have to think, well, if I'm going to cross over the day I cross over, what if I'm asked what I did with the money to also help the planet, the world?
Besides,
and that's
besides
another question to ask yourself.
I know she's helped her kids with money. And didn't you help with a property for your son? In New York?
No, because
were you going
because
to?
You told me it wasn't a good idea. And then
okay,
I had been listening to Esther Hicks, and then I resonate a lot with what she say. Everybody create their own reality.
Well, anyway, back on the topic, because I know we talked about possibly investing for your son, but you decided not to do it. So, okay.
He didn't want it, neither. Yeah,
that's okay.
Really,
do you donate money, or do you? I mean, is there any charities you support, anything like that?
Yeah, I help. I help people, and then I help a lot of people, but then no charities. I just help people.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's accountable.
It's great because you don't want to go to charities. I don't want to go there because.
You have
money and then you can imagine you can give it to somebody to manage it. It's a bad idea. It's a very bad idea because if you don't use it, somebody else have used it. It's what I think. Then if I sit down here and work 8 hours and get up, run, and do something else, and get done, run, and do something else, and then I clean my own things, and then I do this and that. To believe that I have to support somebody else that doesn't have the willingness to do it for themselves, I will think about it. And that's the that is the socialism that we kind of want to, that conflicts with all the, what is happening, because we are in two spaces. We're not giving people the opportunity or be or for them to be self-sufficient.
Yeah, I mean it's difficult, because I think we need social services for those that are in need, so they can have a chance to succeed in society. You know, there's always going to be a pitfall of people who are going to take advantage of the system, but there are many people who have benefited and been able to become independent because of social services. So there's a balance. There's definitely a balance.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, and I think if we're talking about like the upcoming election, for example, it's, you know, Bernie Sanders isn't running for president. He's more of a socialist. Joe Biden is definitely not a socialist, I think, even though, you know,
Joe Biden. Oh my God.
You know.
Well, he's a democratic socialist. He's not a pure socialist.
He's a Democrat. He's a Democratic, yes,
but
not a pure socialist.
You know, in the in terms of the spirituality of money, I would say extend caution. Be very considerate of what your choices are. Mm-hmm. Think about what you're investing in. If whatever you're investing to make your money, make sure that you feel right with the company or the corporation or the product.
Do you
just have a social consciousness, Lucy, so that when you're benefiting from any of your investments, it's not at the cost that somebody else is suffering. And that is the best advice I can give you in terms of gaining capital, that you don't gain capital on someone else's misery. You gain capital on something that promotes life.
Right. So the investments that you make, rather than
you feel
doing,
good in
you
your
know,
heart about it.
Investing in companies that are hurting the environment, you invest in companies that are promoting the environment, or
yeah,
investing in companies that are helping people rather than hurting.
Like, I would never invest in slaughterhouses, you know.
But then you have to look at the change, because it's difficult to know where your money is going and how companies are connected, you know. So
vegan?
We're vegetarian.
You're a vegan?
We're vegetarian.
No vegan, but vegetarian.
Not vegan. Not vegan, which I guess.
No, we're vegetarian.
We're vegetarian. I mean, their dairy industry is terrible.
Well, we don't. We try to stay away from dairy, because of the brutalities of the animals, but we're not strictly vegan. Mm,
okay.
I won't drink milk now. You know, I drink oat milk, oat stuff, but I try to accustom myself to it. So, but we're not strict vegan.
I've never been a milk drinker.
You know, we'll eat broccoli and vegetables.
Okay.
You know, we're not.
Our main source of protein isn't dairy.
No.
That's the question. But anyway,
so we're strict vegetarian. Yeah.
As I was saying, sometimes companies that you invest in, you don't know what other companies they're connected to. So you could be unwittingly investing money in companies that do terrible things. So you have to be very careful. But anyway, I don't know. This is if it's gone from etymology to
like
a business
Brown's
class.
Like Charlie Brown's baseball
field. God.
We talk about everything.
Yeah, we do. But
yeah. Any special message for me today or not?
Well, we're kind of at the end of the show, Lucy. I mean,
well, we wish you a happy birthday, and the
thank
message
you.
Is to be of abundance, good health. Flourish.
Thank you.
Actualize
thank
yourself
you.
and have a great, fantastic year, and keep in touch with us.
Thank you so much. And many
okay.
blessings to you too. Okay.
Thank you, Lucy. Happy birthday. Okay, we're
thank
back
you.
On the air. You're welcome. We're back on the air on Tuesday, next week, Tuesday and Thursday. So we will connect with you then. Bye.